Blog Talk Radio.
All things new, for he is our God and he loves us more than anything, because we are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. For there is none like our God. There is no God like our God. For he made the heavens and the earth. He made everything therein. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God, to know that we have a purpose, to know that we are God's children, that we are children of the Most High God, blessed beyond measure. We have a future in God, and the only thing that is the highest thing on his priority list is that we love each other. That's all. He doesn't ask a lot of us, but that we love each other, that we care about each other, that we want to be good and better and our absolute best for each other. God is so good like that. Where else can you find the blessings of Abraham but with God? But with God. Loved beyond measure. And in our word today, we're going to be coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse. And all I can say, it is a great word this morning. It is a beautiful word this morning. You know, we've talked about spiritual gifts. We've talked about so many things, but the word that God has put in my belly, in the core of me is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Because God wants us to love each other. He wants us to care about each other. And I love this word. It says, now abide faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. But the greatest of these is love. Wow. And so today, as we get into this first Sunday in September, in this ninth month of the year, let us not forget to love. Let us not forget the peace and the joy that only can come from God. Love each other, because God surely loves us. Because if he didn't, he would have destroyed us a long time ago, because we can be something else. Hard-hearted, stiff-necked. Isn't that what he called it? In the word, hard-hearted and stiff-necked. But instead of destroying us, he's loved us. Loved us so much that he gave his only son to come into this wicked, awful world, to go through hardship and heartache to the point of death for us. The one great thing is that he rose again and that he sits on the right hand of our Father God, interceding every day, minute, hour, second for us, still interceding for us. Even when we're good, even when we're bad, even when we're downright nasty and ugly, he still intercedes for us, still asking for God to give us another chance. And in many churches, some give thanks every Sunday with communion, and some give thanks every first Sunday with communion. And the one thing I say, when you get ready to drink from that cup, that you don't do it with a heart amiss, that you ask God to forgive you for any sins you may have committed in thought, sins you may have committed in word, sins you may have committed in deed, that you ask for forgiveness. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I say today, if you've had hate in your heart, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, ask God to remove it before you drink from that cup and eat that bread, to remove all of the things that are in you that are not like him before you drink from that cup and eat from that bread. Because I don't want to see anyone cursed because they drank from that cup and ate that bread amiss. So as we go through this day, as we read this word this morning, just remember to love. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with hearts full of love for you. Oh, how we love you, Lord. Oh, how we praise you, Lord. Oh, how we worship you. But you are our God. You are our heart. You are our strength. You are our absolute. And Lord God, as I lift up this mighty word this morning of love, I ask you to please forgive me for anything I may have done in thought, word, or deed, things known and unknown against your divine majesty, against your people, even against myself. Lord, I humbly bring all my situations, problems to you and lay them on the altar, for I am telling my situations and problems about my daddy, God. And that my dad is the best dad. And there is no problem or no situation that my dad can't get me through. Ask you, Father God, my dad, God, to help this world to be a better place, to give hearts of love and unharden hearts, Lord. Unhardened hearts that kill, steal, and destroy the dreams of others. Unhardened hearts that are starting to foreclose and evict because they can, not because they're supposed to. Lord God, I'm lifting the name of Jesus today, believing you, Lord God, can make ways out of no way for your people, God. And I'm asking, Lord God, as I decrease, that you increase, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father, be accepted in your sight. For you, Lord God, as I say every day, as I pray prayers on this show and prayers in private, for Lord God, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer, for you are my Father, God. And I'm calling on my dad to take control to wrap me and those that are listening live and later in your loving wings, oh God, and hide us in the cliff of the rock during our storms of life. For there is no other that can love us like you do. And it's in the name of my love, my brother, my friend, my Savior, Jesus Christ, who stands in the gap every day for me, who loves me just like you do, that he gave his life for me, that he died for me, and that he rose for me, and that he covers me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet and covers all those that I love and care about. Warm and loving blood. It's in his name I pray, trusting and believing that all things work for our good because we put our hope, our trust in you. And we put our love in you, Father. Thank you so very much, Lord, for waking us up this morning, giving us a new day, giving us a do-over. And again, in the name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I say thank you and amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God as I watch the sun come up this morning and feel so blessed to be able to give a word from the Word of God as I watch the sun come up, as I see the sunlight on a tree and on my little well and on my apple trees, and as I just see how good Daddy God is. As I look at the beautiful sky with its beautiful clouds and just look up and know that our Father God created this atmosphere just for us to breathe, just for us to breathe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Let's get in our word. For those that are just joining us this morning, we are coming out of the love chapter. We are coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I pray that it touches your heart as it has touched mine. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Can we say that together? Rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, but rejoices in truth. I'll say that again. That keeps coming back in my spirit. Does not rejoice in iniquity. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And what is the truth? Who said, I am the truth? Jesus, our truth. Hallelujah. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. love is Jesus. Jesus is love. And it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Jesus is coming back, family. The issue and the question is, will we be ready? For he says, I will come like a thief in the night. Will we be ready? And then it goes on to say, and I think of this. You have children that love to get in grown folk conversation. I remember as a little girl, I was told, and it was no joke. It was no negotiation. It was nothing but, you better be quiet, and I want to hear a word out of you. When grown folks are talking, you better be quiet, like you are not in the room. Because a child is a child, and a child should act like a child. And that was what I was taught. That was how I acted. Because I knew the consequences of trying to be grown because my mom was in the company of somebody else. You better understand that somebody's going to leave. And you're going to have to face the consequences of being grownish. We are not Zoe. Watch out, world, I'm grownish. Saying when you are a child, you better speak as a child, act as a child. Because this is what the word of God says. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Yes, I did. I understood as a child. Yes, I did. I thought as a child. Yes, I did. And when I became a woman, or in the word says a man, I put away childish things. But now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. What does Michael Jackson say back in all those days ago? I'm looking at the man in the mirror, as the Williams brothers singing, you know, to the glory of God. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make a change, if you want to make the world a better place, we got to change. We got to change. And we got to look at ourselves. We grown. When you are grown, act grown. When you a child, act like a child. When you were a child, I hope you acted like a child and wasn't trying to do grownish things. You know, back in where I grew up here, and they said, somebody's trying to smell themselves. You better sit down. And we need to learn how to tell our children to sit down. You know, we want to be their friends and all lovey-dovey and, oh, you know, they're just a little kid. No, little kids are seeing things that they know stuff that you don't know. And believe me when I tell you that they know stuff you don't know. They've been exposed to stuff we were never exposed to as children. At least in my sphere, we were not exposed to. The ones that could read and like to read and would sneak those books, those romance novels with scenes in them that children should not be reading. Even though we didn't have any idea and didn't understand what we was reading, it was racy. And, ooh, we was doing something wrong. But I tell you one thing. When I was with my mommy and my daddy and my mom, when I was with Lil and Henry, my godparents, who I just call my mom and dad now, because it's just easier. And I'm grateful. You know, so many kids are not grateful that their parents love them enough for help. My mom loved me enough and still loves me that she asked for help. And she asked my aunt and my uncle to help, and they did. And I'm grateful that I had a village. I had a village, and as I call them, you know, I have my godparents, Mary and Paul, who allowed me to get married in their home to accommodate my godmother, who had had a stroke and could not even come to the church because she was just too weak. That lady sat up in that recliner all day at my wedding. But we had a bed nearby that if she needed to be picked up and put to bed to rest, she could. But she sat up that whole day just for me. And tomorrow will be our birthday, so I'll talk a little bit more about her on tomorrow. But I just tell you this. Keep trusting God and love. But I say this to parents. Let your children be children. Let your grandchildren be grandchildren. Let your great-grandchildren be great-grandchildren. But let them be children. Act like kids are adults and we treat them like adults. And then we get mad when they start trying to act like adults. Again, the word of God says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know just as I also am known. And now, our title for today, and now abide our faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of love. The word of God has told us that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. But then Jesus said, but the second and greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is the key to all things. We got to love. And as we continue in this word this morning, into chapter 14, and we'll do life lessons at the end today. And it says in chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Come on now. We are in churches and we hear folks going at it, just speaking in tongues. But if there's no interpreter, that means you're speaking to you and God. That's the conversation between you and God. And you don't have to hoop and holler and run across the platform in speaking in tongues because it causes confusion. When you speak in tongues and it's just between you and God, when you don't have that interpreter, it's between you and God. But if you are speaking and interpreting and saying what you are speaking to God, that's a different thing. Because then you're speaking to the congregation. But let's get into the word of God and find out what the word says about. But he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. And again, I'm going to say one more time for the Holy Spirit. What does it say? For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to who? To God. But no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Did you catch that? Been hollering, running across the stage, and nobody understands what you're saying. It's between you and God. What did Paul tell us? Whew, what did he say? Verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. But even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. But now, brothers, if I come to you speaking with tongues, What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? But if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. So when you're speaking in tongues, maybe there's somebody that's understanding you, and that word is just for them. You may not even know what you're saying, but they do. They understand you. And they're like, why are they speaking in Spanish? They don't even know Spanish. Why are they speaking Greek? They don't even know Greek. Why are they speaking Aramaic? They don't know Aramaic. Wait, why are they speaking in Hebrew? They don't know Hebrew. Because they're speaking to a person who is listening. It's not for you. That prophetic word that they're speaking in a tongue that you do not know is for the person receiving it. Or it's a personal conversation between them and God. I remember the first time I ever spoke in tongues that I can remember, let's put it that way. And it was like I couldn't stop. All I could do was just keep speaking, and I had no idea what I was saying. I just knew that I couldn't stop the conversation. And it started at a choir rehearsal, a praise team rehearsal. And our choir director said, I want you to take this song and allow the Holy Spirit to fall on you. And it was William McDowell's Wrap Me in Your Arms. And when you start to sing that song, when we started to sing the song and went into a place that I had never been before, and the Holy Spirit came into this room like a flood. It started on one side. I think it was the altos that it hit first. And it went like a wave, with the sopranos being the last to be hit. And the next thing I knew, I was on my knees with tears rolling down my face. And I could not stop speaking a language I did not know to a God that I did. It overwhelmed me that I couldn't stop. I spoke in tongues for hours, pouring out to God all the things in my life, because He gave me that power that I didn't know I had, because I asked Him to wrap me in His arms. And I asked Him to take me to that place that I could meet with Him, that He could make me like Him. Wrapped me in His arms is what He did. And I can only say, thank you, Lord. So when I say about tongues, it can be personal. It can be edifying when there's an interpreter. But don't take that gift lightly, because you want to be speaking to God and you want to know that's who you're speaking to. Because a
again, the enemy has tongues too. And you don't want to be talking to him, but talking to God. So understand this, because the word of God says one more time, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And I'm going to read that again. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. It's not about self. It's about God. It's about lifting up the people of God. And it goes on to tell us, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? Amen. I went to a class once where this pastor was talking about speaking in tongues. And I was horrified because this man got up and said, to speak in tongues, you start off with A, B, C, D. And then you move on from there. What? And I listened and I thought, and I felt the Holy Spirit hit me and say, don't listen to that. That is false teaching. Tongues are not something you learn by A, B, C, D. So be careful where you sit and who you listen to. I was appalled because I didn't feel that in my spirit. And then it says when you start with that and then you allow yourself to go into a trance, into a place, and then you start with those A, B, C, and D, and then E, and then you start to think of Abba, and then you go, you know. And I thought, Abba is not listening to this mess. Our Father is not listening to this mess that you're speaking to him in ABCs and not in the spirit. And that if you start with the A, B's, and C's, that you will eventually go into the spirit. Don't play with speaking in tongues, family. And don't let anybody teach you falsely. When it's your gift, God will give it to you. And he will give it to you like a flood. He will give it to you where you will be able to understand. I was speaking. At first, I didn't understand what I was saying. But as the time went on, like I said, it was for hours, I started to understand that I was my heart to God. I had gone through so much, and I was giving it all to God. And then I started speaking in English as I started to pray. And then I realized what I had been saying to God, because he started to give me understanding what I was praying in tongues, I was hearing in English. And I was like, wow, blown away. I think I was on my knees for hours. I know I was on my knees for hours. I drove home. I don't know how. It was the Holy Spirit, because I couldn't stop speaking in tongues and I couldn't stop crying. All because me and his arms. And he did. And as the word continues, it says, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And I'm going to read that again. Because we need to understand, speaking in tongues is no joke. Speaking in tongues is a gift from God, but don't use it unwisely. Don't get a talking in tongues, because what you're going to do is turn somebody off who doesn't understand what you're doing. They're going to think you crazy. What them folks doing up there, rolling around, sounding like they talking to dogs? What in the world is going on with that? You know, and then you have those that are copycats. They done heard a certain word spoken, and so they start to speak it. They done heard folks speak in tongues, and so they taped it, and now they're copying it. But understand, again, what did it say? It's a personal thing, unless it's edifying with an interpreter. So you're speaking somebody's language, and you don't know what you're saying. You're just copying. You're parroting what they said. And it's not edifying God, and it's definitely not going any farther than the ceiling, because you're fake. And we have to be careful with that, too. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but don't play with that. This is not a gift to play with. It's not a gift to play with. And it goes on to tell her, I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? But you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babe, but in understanding be mature. Paul is preaching this morning. Word verses 21 through 40. Again, life lessons will be done at the end. And it says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. And I'm going to say it one more time. In the law, not what I say, but what God spoke to Moses. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Paul knows he's speaking it. But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus, the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Because let's call it straight. True prophets, they will get all up in your business. Because God will reveal to them the trueness of everything. A true prophet will be all up in your business. And you'll be like, how do you know that? You know, is there a camera in my house? Because how do they know all my business? Because they are true prophets sent by God to help you, not to harm you. A true prophet will help and not harm. A true prophet will tell you about yourself, whether you like it or not. And you know it's from them, because that's when you get on your knees. The tears will come and you will be on your knees before you even know what's going on. And yes, you may be speaking in tongues, because then you are repenting to God. And it's a personal conversation between you and God. because he sent a prophet to tell you some stuff. And you needed to listen, and you needed to hear. Prophet will convict you, a true prophet. And this is what it goes on to say, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Hallelujah. Now, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silence. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And now you just got that word in context. In context, it deals with prophecy. It deals with those that are speaking to the church body, that there will not be confusion, that you will not have one prophet saying one thing and another prophet saying something else. That those prophets, because they've been together in the spiritual realm, will each speak what thus says the Lord, and it should be in agreement. And it may be something God's already spoken to the pastor, and the pastor will know which one is speaking the truth and which one is not. Because, again, for God is not, and we're going to go back to get this in context one more time. It says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And, no, it said encouraged. If somebody is beating you down with a prophetic word and no encouragement coming out, that is not from God. And it comes on, it says this, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't even know sometimes who is a prophet or a prophetess that is sitting in your congregation. But when somebody gets up and gives a false prophecy, you better believe they know. And they know in their heart, in their spirit, that that is not from God. Because we all have had the aura of knowledge. And God will give you a discerning spirit to know, that is not God. Is not of God. You know it to the core of your being. That is not from God. He's already given you a dream. He'd already given, putting a word in your spirit before you ever walk through the doors. And I can tell you something, as a minister who teaches and studies the word of God, that there are certain words that get put, and I call it in the spiritual wave of thinking, and it just hits your spirit, it hits your heart, and all of a sudden you start hearing that word preached all over the internet. You hear it preached in your churches, you hear it preached, and you're like, I just felt that this morning, or I just taught that the other day, or you know. It does something to your spirit. It's like, whoa, wow, because God has put it in the spiritual atmosphere. And if you're in tune, you catch it and you feel it and you know that it came from God. This word came from God today on this first Sunday in September. This is a word for God. And this is where a whole lot of stuff comes from. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. They are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for women to speak in church. And you take folks that will run with it. They will run with it. This is that that word that confuses folks, women in the pulpit. They need to be quiet. They need to sit down. They don't need to be talking. The word today is that women need to keep silent. And then it says this, or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and to do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. But no, all of this. But then he says, or did the word of God come originally from you? Again, this little section is what Paul feels to say God said this. If you notice, most of this word, he's talking about what God said. But then he always, but after this, women should speak, he says, but he had an or in there. Did the word of God come originally from you? Or did you only that it reached? In other words, the word of God has reached us all, men, women, boys and girls. When we go there, we got to all understand that God's word is true, and it's for all of us, not just for men. It's not die. It's for all of us to get this word, and God wants his word to be put into the atmosphere, that all that hear it will know that there is one God and that he is in charge of everything. And everything we as pastors and ministers and teachers are to do is to edify God within the church. It's for edification, not for self-grandizement. We got to get out of the self-grandizing business. It's about God. And it goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, and this is the life lessons from Dr. Stanley. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but having not love, it profits me nothing. Love does mean action. Love is an action word, in other words. But it means more than that. A person can literally give up his life for others, the supreme self-sacrifice, and yet do it without love. Love has a caring element that prompts its actions. 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. God never gave any of his children a complete picture of what he was doing or what he planned to do. Can you imagine the arrogance that would result if he had? Instead, we need to depend upon each other. Because he may give one part to this prophet, another part to this prophet, another part to this person with knowledge, and a little bit to this person who's speaking in tongues, and he gives them a vision. He may spread out the word all over, only know in part. And this is what it says, but this word, our word for today, now abide hope. Now abide faith. Let me get it right. Faith is that first word, because faith, and then hope and love. But it says to us, these, but the greatest of these is love. Hope will disappear in heaven because we will already have everything we've ever hoped for. Faith will not be required since we will see the King in his glory. But love will remain forever. I love the way Dr. Stanley explains this word. Again, hope will disappear in heaven because we will already have everything we've ever hoped for. Faith will not be required since we will see the King in his glory. But love will remain forever. Because to love him and love each other. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And it says this, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. God intends that we grow in grace together. We are to learn about him together. We are to serve others
together. Why together? Because unity of heart and action best shows the power of God's love. There's love again. I would rather speak five words with my understanding, 1 Corinthians 14:19, that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Originally seen as the empowering of the church at Pentecost, the ability to speak diverse languages was given so that early church could spread the gospel all over the world, Acts 2:4. Yet what Paul is speaking of here is that many of the believers in other religions by babbling meaninglessly. Y'all heard that, right? By babbling meaninglessly. What they were doing was neither of the spirit or edifying to other believers. Rather, they were trying to show off their super spirituality. Yet, as Paul reiterated to them, the real power of the Spirit is seen in the teaching and maturing of the church. We need to be unified in the body of Christ. We need to be unified in the body of Christ. And it goes on to tell us, as Dr. Stanley says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God does not tell one person to do something that completely contradicts and invalidates what he told someone else to do. Nor does he ever lead in opposition to his eternal word. He is a God of order. Come on now. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Chaos is never a sign of God's leading. When something spirals out of control, you can be sure that God did not design it. He may lead in unusual ways, but he will never lead in inconsistent ways. When something does not work out for your good, you know that God did not have it in your heart. It is not from God. If there is confusion in it, it is not from God. You may think you're hearing the voice of God. We got to learn to ask God, Lord, let me hear you. Let me hear you. For God is not the author of confusion. And this is what it says, and this is the end of what we have for today. And this is what the Bible says about a well-ordered body. And it says, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. So the human body is a complicated structure. It's known to house from 60 to 75 trillion cells. Each cell is comprised of 90 trillion atoms. Every minute, 70,000 miles of blood vessels travel through the entire distance of the body and back. And every second, a minimum of 100,000 chemical reactions occur in the brain. In an inch of skin, there are 19 million cells, 60 hairs, 90 oil glands, 90 feet of blood vessels, 625 sweat glands, and 19,000 sensory cells. DNA has over 80,000 pieces of information. Yes, the human body is an intricate, wonderful system. The workings of it are beyond our comprehension. Even doctors and scientists cannot possibly describe all the intricacies and mysteries of it. How the muscles, tendons, nerves, bones, cells, and systems all coordinate in an orderly manner to keep you going. Interestingly, Scripture refers to the church as the body of Christ. Romans 12:4-6 teaches, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. God doesn't want us to be exactly alike. So the body are different. He created us with specific purposes to fulfill. However, everything works together for his glory. As 1 Corinthians 14:33 teaches, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
Let the human body, the church is a living organism that is constantly growing and changing, yet understand that it does so in an organized, obedient, godly fashion, not in chaos. When Christ brings you into fellowship with the rest of his church, he has special plans to use your gifts and talents within that group, and he keeps you unified with the rest of the body through the Holy Spirit. Is there dissension in the church? Has somebody gone wrong within the body? Is there someone calling for conformity instead of unity? Excuse me, instead of unity. Ephesians 4:1-3 has the prescription of restoring harmony. Walk worthy of the calling. Whew. Called with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In humility, respect the members of the body for their unique area of service, and seek the Spirit to restore the unity within the fellowship. He is the great physician, and he knows exactly how to cure what ails you. And thank you, God, for the reading and teaching of your word this morning. Pastor Paul has spoken. Apostle Paul has spoken. And all we need to do is listen. But God is in charge. And again, he is not the author of confusion. And God wants us to love. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for yesterday is this. I pray that God cover each corner of your day with his grace. He tucks his love into every moment. Have a super Saturday. But for today, it's a scripture, Psalms 118:24. Whew, I love Psalms 118. And it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Have a blessed Sunday, family, and as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Christ Jesus. As you think on things today, think on his love. And remember that God is love. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Have a lovely and a blessed day, family. And remember, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and know that God is in charge of. Have a blessed day and know God's got you covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And remember, God is not the author of confusion, and that God wants us to do whatever we do, do it decently and in order. And remember, God is a God of peace. Have a blessed day and love someone today. Love all your brothers, your sisters, your children. Just tell somebody, I love you. So family, I love you. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. I say this with love. Have a blessed day.